Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life. I am your host, Mary Stanley. And today we're talking about understanding, emotions, self-sabotage. Now, the first question a lot of you are going to ask is, what is inner standing? We talked a little bit about this last Wednesday. The difference between understanding, overstanding, and inner standing. And I think that is a good place to start. Now, we all understand what understanding is. And we understand, for the most part, understanding means you're aware. You understand what's going on. Overstanding is a more than just a basic understanding. It means that you understand the whole picture and understand more than just the basics. Now, understanding is where it's key. Understanding is understanding the whole picture it creates, the reason what's going on, why it goes on, and what the results will be. It is the core of who you are. It's centered more around listening to your whole body. You comprehend, you understand, you have that puzzle figured out. You know why you do what you do. You know what happens when you do what you do. You have this down to where you understand it all. You know why and who you are. Now, a lot we're going to talk about today is self-sabotage and your emotions. You know, since we have been kids, since birth basically, we have been programmed to believe that the only true emotion, the right emotion to have, is happy. It's not good to be sad. It's not good to be mad. It's not good to be upset, whatever. And the reason how we're programmed from this is when, you know, you're born, you cry, your parents give you a bottle, give you a plug, they change your diaper. They figure out what's wrong so that they can make you stop crying. Get a little bit older. You fall, you get hurt. You get sad because someone picks on you. First words out of somebody's mouth is, it's okay, you don't need to cry. It's okay. We'll make it better. We patch them up. We do whatever it takes, say whatever it takes to get them to stop crying. And as time goes on, we go through more of this. And COVID hit. And disaster strikes. Everyone goes into lockdown. Everyone starts to fear and have these worries. Mental health problems increase, and we start this whole gaslighting world. And by gaslighting, that means we blow it up. We ignore. certain things but encourage other things. And the biggest issue right now that we're struggling with is the mental health industry. And I've talked to numerous therapists, I've talked to psychologists, I've talked to coaches, and a lot of people tell you that the only good emotion is happy. Take everything in the world, flip it to positive. Question to ask yourself is that happy? The next question is, okay, so if that's the case, then why do I have all these other emotions? And that's what we're going to talk about today, understanding what these emotions are. And really all they are is, in scientific terms, are just electrical fields in your body triggering things. We, as humans, put labels on them. We have to put a label on everything and define everything. And this is, and the more you ignore those feelings, or you turn around and push them aside, you turn them into happy, the more problems will ensue. You're not fixing anything. You are burying them and denying them. So you end up in this cycle, which down the road can increase mental health issues, can lower the self-esteem, can deal with everything that's going on. You know, your emotions, they play a significant role in your self-sabotage. Your subconscious mind or your inner voice is crucial when it comes to your self-sabotage and finding out why. Your unconscious efforts that undermine what you're doing, which often lead to negative consequences or things that, you know, you're hindering your personal growth. You're hindering what's going on, and you're not making those steps. You're always showing up late. You sleep in and ignore your alarm, or you wait 5 extra minutes to get ready when you know you need that 5 minutes to get out the door on time. In the whole light of things, your emotions can influence the behavior. And when you've tried to self-talk yourself, you've tried to do this, you've tried to do this, and you ignore those feelings or those voices in your head, and nothing is changing, that is why. Well, let's look at some of these different emotions first. Your fear, your anxiety. That little bit of worry, that little bit of the quickening of the heartbeat, or you start self-talking yourself out of doing something. It gets you to avoid doing things, or you start psychoanalyzing yourself and saying, okay, I don't need to do that right now. Or I'm not good enough. Or, you know, we need this, we need this. Or we can just put it off. It helps you or hinders you, depends on how you look at this. See, fear, the whole point of fear is your brain has one purpose in life. That's it. And that's to keep you alive. And a lot of the stuff is autopilot. You're breathing. How your food is moved and digested. Then there's things that you consciously eating, things like that you do. And your brain tells you you're hungry, you need to eat, or you're thirsty, you need something to drink. But when something is new, or something is different, or something is not your normal status, that is where fear comes in at, because your brain is not sure what it is. And so to protect yourself, to make sure you're staying alive, even though the action may have nothing to do with that, it's nothing dangerous, it's nothing, your fear kicks in. And learning to override that is crucial. You know, the misconception is, you know, starting a business, doing things, coming out and doing talks, doing something that's different scares you. And that you have to make these big steps. Well, when you take these huge leaps and these big steps, it makes you get to that end result faster. But you can take smaller steps. But when you take these smaller steps, make sure those steps count. You're not partly in. That first step is always the hardest. You know, jumping out of airplane, taking that first step out of that airplane where there's no ground is the hardest. Your fear controls you because it tries to preserve you. You know, low self-esteem, self-doubt, that is still that fear. You don't have that belief in yourself. You don't have that belief in your ability, not understanding what you can, what you're capable of. And to make it worse, mind. Hi, Derek. Your subconscious mind kicks in. And that's what creates the self-fulfilling prophecies. Unconsciously. You know, you worry about, oh, I'm going to trip and fall. You trip and fall. No, something isn't going right. Well, this, no, you're going to fail. Your subconscious mind helps you create the results you want. Give me 2 seconds, I'll be right back. A slight issue I had to deal with quick. All right. So low self-esteem, the self-doubt, that's all still fear. Here's one that y'all never thought of. Perfectionism. Emotions lead to perfectionism. And in your subconscious mind, that's also part of self-sabotage and fear. The fear of making that mistake, doing it over and over and over again, get it, do it perfect, and not end up getting it done. You're not making that progress forward. Not being able to understand and manage your emotions. Letting your emotions control you. Not understand what those emotions are and why. Highly sensitive people. You end up down that self-destructive path trying to escape or numb those feelings. Impulsive reactions. Having that hair trigger. Acting without thinking. Driven by, you know, a lot of frustration or anger. Being stuck in your comfort zones is so, so big. not taking those steps you need to continue on, not afraid to live outside your bubble. No, it's so important to recognize the role of emotions in self-sabotage to develop strategies in managing and overcoming these patterns. Building emotional awareness so you can develop those coping mechanisms. Seeking support. All these things are crucial into taking those next steps in life. And the first steps are is determining if what kind of a person you are. And I'm not saying good person, bad person. I'm saying cause and effect. Are you a cause person or are you an effect person? By that, in life, you can either be the effect of what happens to you or you can be the cause. And own and be responsible for that experience. Most people are the effect. By that, they believe what happens to them is not their fault, good or bad. They blame God. They blame society. They blame anything and everything for what happens. And not taking control over it. To determine if you're a cause or an effect person, answer the word because. This happened because. Did I screw up? Then you're an effect person. Well, this happened because this person slammed on the brakes. Then you're the other person. You can't change anything or take steps forward to improve your life until you become that cause person. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. You can't make those changes till you take responsibility. It's kind of like a car accident. Like Minnesota, it's a 10% fault. There is no such thing as zero fault. You know, you got hit by this person. Well, it's partly my fault because I was driving on the road. I was there. Even if they hit you, I was on the road. So it's partly my fault. Taking ownership. When you use the word because, what you are saying is that the reason or excuses of why you can't have or do what you want. Or don't have what you want to have it, gives you the reasoning. Easiest way to figure out if you're a cause or an effect person is 100% of people in therapy are an effect person. You're going to therapy because someone did something to you. You're not owning to what happened to you. And I'm not saying if something bad happens, it's all your fault, or your fault at all. But understanding why that happened and moving forward from it, taking responsibility that this fact happened, your spouse hit you. Acknowledging it happened and moving this forward and dealing with it is the cause. Acknowledging that it happened and dealing with it. Not playing the victim role. Taking those next steps forward. taking responsibility for the problems, the things, anything that happens, gives you that empowerment. It teaches you that you are stronger than what you think you are. It gives you those steps to take to move forward. Acting as if everything is your creating that happens in your world. Taking responsibility no matter what will give you that empowered feeling to take action. It drives you to get the results you want. Look for results. Not excuses. Your excuses are your limiting beliefs. Those are what's out there that says, I can't do this. It's someone else's fault. Things aren't working the way you want them to work. You have to change your approach. Don't sit and make excuses for it. Change the way you're doing it. Now, don't look at it as I'm taking responsibility. Look at it as I don't accept excuses. Not accepting excuses will put you in the top 5% of the population to do what it actually takes to get the results you want and you deserve. You look at all these successful business people, and you look at all the failures. What is the one thing they have in common? They tried. What sets them apart is they don't accept excuses. Failure is not an option. I just haven't figured out the right way to do it yet. This is where we go into the emotion aspect. So our brains process 7 things at one time, plus or minus. It's a key of 5. Okay? We process these things in chunks of 5 to 7. And what doesn't get processed gets stored or dumped in our subconscious mind. All these things are being processed through your senses. Your emotions are run by your senses, your smell. Remember back when you smelled chocolate chip cookies being baked. You know, it's part of the reason why real estate agents, you know, bake cookies, because it activates your senses. So, because it brings you back to the smells of home. Growing up, mom baking chocolate chip cookies. You know, the sounds that you hear, the heat or the cold you feel, the pressure on your skin. All of that is converted into your nervous system. And your brain breaks that all down for you. So it all becomes an automatic process. The cool thing is about our brain is it all gets turned into, it all gets processed separately. So no two, it's not all processed together. Your brain actually has an area for hearing, an area for seeing, for smelling, touching, tasting. It all gets put together at a speed of light for your body to process it. And it combines it with previous experiences, good or bad. It also gets put together with emotions and thoughts, what you want, what you don't want. And you thinking a certain way helps shape what your memories are. It also shapes how you believe. It helps understand your body to understand what it doesn't know. You know, this is where the external world is perceived by you based heavily on your perception. You know, we're taught from a very young age, the grass is green, the sky is blue. We're told this. Now, question for you to think about is, if you weren't ever told this, would it still be green? Would it still be blue? Look at the person you admire, you look up to, your role models. Is it business people? Is it celebrities? Is it your mom or dad or somebody? Now look at why you admire these people. You have that template in your mind. You have that template in your body for that person. Those traits that you admire about that person, you can be the same thing. It's just a matter of taking that step and expressing yourself that way. This is where we go into the thoughts. Scientists have believed for years that your body is one giant neurotransmitter. So that means your thoughts don't just affect your brain. It affects your whole entire body. So when you tell yourself that you can't do this, that's why it subconsciously is harder for you to do it. Why you can't get your foot to move that one step. It has been proven that your body is so strong, your mind is so strong that you can actually create your own illnesses. Hypochondriacs who believe they're sick actually becoming sick because they believe they're sick. There's been studies and done, it's actually a condition where women who wanted a baby so bad, they actually go through a fake pregnancy, but there's no baby there, but they will actually gain the weight. They will grow the stomach. Their bodies will be tricked into thinking they're actually pregnant, even though they're not. That's how powerful our minds are. That's not just our minds, it's our whole body. And it's not just our thoughts, it's the pictures we create in our minds. And this is where meditation and other things come into play. Actually physically sitting down and creating a picture in your mind of what you want out of life. And you know, all week I'm in night school with a program, Tiffany Largie and Matt Gill is part of, called Do the Damn Thing. And her dream, her goal is to get to Wembley. And she's got that picture up everywhere. And she does what it takes to someday get to Wembley. That is her end result. And she talks a lot about how you need to take these boss moves. Take these big steps. Don't think small. for that to happen for her and for whatever you're doing. So let's start out with a big picture. Let's start out with that big boss step. What are your goals for the year? Those are your big boss moves. Take those steps. An all perfect example. As you've been following my radio show, you know that I am helping raise money for the Boy Scouts to get them to Buffalo, New York. They will be part of the dedication ceremony of the Battle Within. They will be part of the Color Guard for the Battle Within ceremony on Memorial Day at the U.S. Naval Park in Buffalo, New York. For these kids, it's a huge honor to be able to do that. And for most of these kids, it'll be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. 6 weeks ago, we were set with a challenge of raising $10,000. Now, I live in a very small town. By small, we don't even have a stoplight. We have a stop sign. Our population on a good day is about 1,200 people. We're about 2 to 3 hours away from the next huge actual city, the Twin Cities or like Rochester. We're a farming area. So when I brought the idea up to the parents of the Boy Scouts, they wanted to do it. They had one foot in. They didn't think we could do it. As of to date, we have raised almost $7,000. We are close, we're $3,000 short. So taking an organization of about 13 kids in a small town that 90% of you have never, ever heard of in the world, surrounded by a bunch of small communities, and through online, through garage sales, through pancake breakfast, walking tacos, alternatives, talking to businesses, we have raised almost $7,000. We're short, but we still have 2 weeks till our deadline. No, we have 1 week till our deadline to raise $3,000. We're doing another fundraiser today, this weekend. Now, let's talk about the self-sabotage part of that. I've connected them with the right people to coordinate the train. So we're going to originally take the train. But because they delayed it, they self-sabotage themselves. And came up with excuses. Their reservations were canceled and don't have enough seats. So they have to scramble and find alternative ways to get from point A to point B and set up a plan. That is all self-sabotage. Because they let their fear of not thinking they could raise the money, their fear of not taking that step forward to make it happen, stand in their way. And we have some, majority of the parents stood up and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to drive. Some of us who don't have reliable cars, let's rent some cars. The rest of us will drive our own cars up there. We'll leave Thursday night, drive through the night, get there Friday afternoon. Because those are the doers. Those are the ones that took the action steps, did the boss move to get to that result. They didn't sit and whine and wait for someone else to take those steps and make those moves. Those are the things that it takes. You know, anyone who follows me knows that I absolutely suck at doing live videos. But does that stop me? No. I don't do them as often. But for me to get my message out there until I perfect the video, and part of it is I don't have the equipment to do it properly, and, you know, those are all excuses, but to me it wasn't a priority. Just my, all I wanted was to get my voice out there. I wanted to share my message with you guys. So instead of doing video after video after video and making excuses for those, I found alternative format, which is a radio station. And that is the point. If you keep doing it, you don't get that result. You're not accomplishing anything. But you take those steps and find an ulterior way of doing it, an alternative way of doing it. For me, it's the radio. I talk. That, it gets my message out there. It gets it a way that I am comfortable with until I get more comfortable behind a camera. Or in front of the camera instead of behind the camera. And that's what we're talking about today. Taking those steps. Taking responsibility. The responsibility for the change you want is 100% you. Not taking that responsibility. You're confused about something? All confusion is putting the blame on something instead of taking responsibility for it. The only way you can get that life you want, get what you want out of life, is to change from effect or excuses to cause, responsibility. Listening to your subconscious mind. So, taking these steps. You're not getting anywhere. Me for video. It's my fault. I don't take enough of them. I don't do it. I overanalyze. I overthink. If I actually took the time to do it, I'd get better at it. Now you're listening to that fear in the back of your head. You're listening to that voice in your head, in your body. Now as you're listening to that voice, what is that voice telling you? What is that fear for? Those are the keys to understanding what's the next steps. Listening. Now, when you ask the why, that is the emotional response. To fix the emotional response, you need to ask yourself the what question. What caused this to happen? What is the reason for that fear? You know, for me, for videos. You know, I was teased a lot as a kid for the way I looked. I had a slight overbite. I was tall. I was skinny. Now I'm a little bit bigger. So I'm a little self-conscious. growing up as a teenager and into my 20s, because I looked the way I looked, people wanted to be friends with me. Guys wanted to date me. They didn't care about who I was. They cared about what I looked like. So I became even more self-conscious. I was raised old school. By that, you were trained and taught that you had to look a certain way. Girls had to be presentable, hair done, looking nice. So all that played a role in my psyche. So for me, doing videos, one, I always had a speech problem, especially when I got nervous or anxious. So all these things is what my subconscious is telling me, that I'm I have self-esteem issues. I'm worried about what they think. And having to overcome that. And that's what my goal is, and I'm working on today. It's overcoming, not caring what everyone else thinks. Not worried about the message that people tell me. Having that self-confidence to understand my message, what I want, what I know are real. When I was in the military, I had a really good friend of mine. She was Muslim. She always wore hijab. She always had her face covered. And it wasn't that she was forced into it. Her husband didn't care either way. But she did it because she was really pretty. But she did it for her own self-esteem reasons. She did it because she wanted to make sure that people judged her on what she said, not on how she looked. She wanted to know that when she was at work and she had a good idea, people liked her idea because it was good. It wasn't because she was pretty. You know, she was raised in an environment where women were not considered smart. That's something she's still working on to overcome. We have to understand our beliefs. Our beliefs are shaped from our environment around us, but two, also genetics, our DNA. Some traits are passed down. You know, it's the age-old question of nature versus nurture. How much of it is genetic? How much of it is the environment? We're finding out that more and more of what shapes us is our environment, not our genetics. We can override our genetics. What we're finding out is that what we believe in ourselves, what we believe, no matter what, we believe are true. It's our ethics, it's our values. You know, if we believe with something wholeheartedly, you can't change that. Understanding that is crucial. And understanding that our emotions are subjective. They're influenced by what we believe. They're influenced by how we interpret things and my past experiences. But it also is shaped by past experiences from others. Well, we talk, you know, you're hearing a lot of talk about negative emotions. Are emotions negative? No. There's no such thing as a bad emotion. Our garbage man. Hang on. Our garbage man just went through, so the dogs are going crazy. It's not the emotions that are bad. It is what we do, the reaction to those emotions that we need that are good or bad. To overcome emotions, you don't need to suppress them. You don't need to ignore them. It's a natural part of being who we are. Acknowledging them and honoring them is crucial. But you also have to learn, and the key phrase here is manage and regulate, so that they don't impact you negatively. It's what you do after that. And it helps, you know, looking at, are you an emotional-driven person or are you a logical? Are you ran by your emotions or do you run by logic? Now, and it starts with becoming emotionally aware. Paying attention to what you feel, how you feel. What triggers these emotions? What makes you worry? What happened to kick this in? And not only that, but understanding how they affect your whole body, not just your mind. Keeping track, keeping a notebook. You want to understand the root causes of these emotions. When you're in these emotions, when you're in these feelings, practice mindfulness. Take breaths. Stay in the present. Just observe, not judge. Look at it as a matter of fact. I am sad because this. I am mad because I stepped on a toy because my kids didn't put it away. So accepting that, or someone did something. I'm mad because they said something that I didn't like. Accepting all this as a fact and not as an emotional trigger. Accepting that all emotions are normal. They're part of life. They are who you are. Accepting them without judgment can help reduce the intensity and the duration of those experiences. You know, most anxiety issues are caused from resistance of these emotional problems. The more you resist, the more you fight in emotion, the more it's going to manifest, the stronger it's going to be. Because it's your body telling you something's not right. Learning how to regulate your emotions. What do you need to do to calm yourself down? Replace the negative thoughts. Not with positive thoughts, with realistic thoughts. Balance thoughts. It'll help you gain a better perspective of your emotions and the situations that trigger them. When you turn them all into happy, that's not acknowledging the emotions you're feeling. That is just whitewashing them over and ignoring them. And here's crucial. self-care, taking care of yourself, saying no, not overdoing everything. Prioritize yourself. You can't take care of others till you take care of yourself. Do what you need to do. You know, we're in this world that it's so twisted and misconcepted right now that self-care, taking care of yourself, is being selfish. But it's actually the opposite. You cannot take care of others or help others until you take care of yourself. You need yourself at 100% before you can help others. You know, when I first started talking about my kids being special, first word out of everybody's mouth was, oh, I'm sorry, you must be one of those stressed out moms. I'm not. Because the first thing I teach my kids is emotions. I teach them emotional regulation. But I get them to understand what their emotions are and why. You know, like my son, when he has meltdowns or he has temper tantrums, he will say, what happened? And he'll want you to explain to him what caused him to get upset. What caused him to get frustrated? And now he's to the point where he will tell you, if you listen, when he gets upset, if he wants you to leave him alone, he will tell you he's a baby anaconda snake. And it took me talking to a specialist to get me to understand this. I didn't quite catch it. But snakes have warnings. You're leave him alone. When they hiss, they flare up, rattle their tail, something. They warn you to leave them alone. Well, baby anaconda snakes are very unpredictable. They're very aggressive. So when he's at that point that he cannot physically control himself and want to snap or bite at you, he will tell you, leave him alone, without saying leave you alone. When he wants to be hugged and cuddled and whatever, he'll tell you he's a baby because he wants you to treat him like a baby. Hold him and swaddle him up. So as we're almost out of time today, I'm going to leave you with this one message. One, seek support. Have someone help you, talk to you, so you have to talk to them about it. But you remember, overcoming emotions does not mean eliminating them entirely, but rather finding a way to cope with them. They are part of you. They are who you are. God gave you emotions for a reason. As you cope and you regulate them, it's a process that requires self-reflection, patience. It takes practice, listening to your body, listening to your mind, listening to everything around you, and understanding that emotions significantly impact your daily function and well-being. Emotions are okay. All emotions, not just happy. And accepting that and understanding why you're feeling that way is the first step that you can take to take that next step in life. Be able to do what you need to do to be success in whatever it is. My view of success is not the same as yours. My goal is not the same as yours. Just remember, emotions are important. They're there for a reason. But we're out of time today. Thank you for joining me. Join us tomorrow morning at 10 Eastern for our Georgette Reynolds and our Juice Healing, Dope Healing radio show. And she talks about life and healthy living. Have a good day. Have a good afternoon. Have a good night. Bye for now.